Welcome to Jason Powell's Pro Wrestling Boom Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. Get ready for the latest news, analysis, and interviews featuring big names from the world of pro wrestling. Here comes the boom!
Radio voice of the Minnesota Vikings. Check out Paul's Sports Talk radio show at KFAN.com. My guest today is a third-generation performer in the pro wrestling industry. His grandfather was a referee. His father was one half of a legendary tag team, and he is the reigning NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion. Kerry Morton joins me, fresh off of working matches on the Smashing Pumpkins World is a Vampire Tour, and we'll talk about that, Crockett Cup, being trained by his father and other pro wrestling icons, and more. Before we get to Kerry, it has been a news-filled week with AEW announcing its new Collision show and then not announcing the return of CM Punk. I spoke with a number of people in the industry about the Punk situation, shared some of the details in my AEW Dynamite review for .NET members last night, and we'll talk more about it in today's .NET Weekly audio show with Jake Barnett, which is also available exclusively for our .NET members and Patreon patrons. The members hear ad-free audio reviews of all the major television shows and pay-per-view events, my Q&A audio show, and they enjoy an ad-free version of the ProWrestling.net website. Sign up for membership today at pwmembership.net. If audio is your jam and you're not as concerned with the ad-free website, you might be able to save yourself a few bucks by becoming a patron via patreon.com/prowrestling.net. Just be sure to spell it out, Pro Wrestling, D-O-T-N-E-T. Also, a reminder, Pro Wrestling Boom Live is going to return on Tuesday, May 30th. We're pushing the show back a day due to the Memorial Day holiday, but I believe Johnny Fairplay will join me, and one way or another, I'll be taking your calls coming out of WWE Night of Champions, AEW Double or Nothing, and NXT Battleground. Again, that's Tuesday, May 30th, 1 Central, 2 Eastern, at pwaudio.net. Sit tight, because here comes Kerry Morton. Back on the boom, and my guest today is the reigning and defending NWA Junior Heavyweight Champion. You can check him out on NWA Power every Tuesday night on the NWA YouTube page. He'll also be in action at the two-night Crockett Cup pay-per-view event, June 3rd and 4th in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And that show is going to be available both nights via pay-per-view on Fight TV. And you can catch him here, there, and everywhere on the independent scene as well. Kerry Morton, welcome to the show.
Man, thank you for such an introduction. That's a great way to introduce the champion, so to speak, you know, NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, and happy to be on the show.
You've accomplished a lot in your young career. How old are you now, Kerry?
So I am 22 years of age, about to go into senior year of college as we speak right now. And then, you know, I've been in this business my whole entire life, so to speak, under the influence of my father and my grandfather. So with that being said, you know, wrestling has been my blood. It's something I adore and I cherish. And so with that being said, you know, the road ahead is long, but I'm ready to rock and roll with it.
Yeah, so I do want to go way back with you. You mentioned, you know, you grew up the son of a wrestler and the grandson of a pro wrestling referee. So was it always your dream to become a pro wrestler? Was it just something in the back of your mind that one day you get more serious about? Or was it just from the get-go, like I'm following in my dad's footsteps?
No, absolutely. Wrestling was always the end goal. You know, when I was young, I played sports. I had a lot of success in sports in middle school and elementary and high school, being, you know, a state champion in wrestling, being a state champion in theatrics, playing, you know, divisional soccer for like a traveling league. You know, and also doing performance arts with professional theater, being on tour of national tours. All that led to being more successful in professional wrestling. You know, I think from the day I can remember, my mom and dad knew that there was really no stopping me from getting in that wrestling ring, especially traveling every weekend, day up and day out, wrestling with my father on the independent scene, watching my father bust his tail, so to speak. You know, I'll try to keep it PG, bust his tail. And, you know, up and down the road on the independent circuits. And with that struggle, just made a more desirable of wanting to become a more professional wrestler and a successful one at that. So you know, it took a long time to kind of get to the position I am at 22 years old, but I wouldn't change anything. You know, this is the business that I adore, I cherish. I take this business very seriously, and if ones that watch my work, they can most definitely tell.
Now, you say, you know, you mentioned there was no stopping you, but did your dad ever give you any pushback? Did he ever try to discourage you from getting into the business?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think all fathers would when they find out, you know, what the professional wrestling business is really like. Not necessarily in the ring, but the politics. They go behind the stage, behind the scenes, I should say. You know, the get-ups of going up and down the road, traveling from California to New York in one day's time on a red eye. The travel, you know, the politics, the money is, you know, especially starting out in the scene, is not necessarily the best. So it's something that my father wouldn't necessarily put on to me, and that's why he made me, you know, go get an education in college, which I'm currently doing right now. So, you know, it was a long road, and that's something that he always preaches to me. His son, this business is not easy. A lot of people think they do have the answers, and when certainly they don't. So, you know, it took a while. It took a while to really kind of deep dive into why I wanted to do this other than just being a legend's son.
So you weren't around for the true glory days of the Rock and Roll Express. Your father, Ricky Morton, and Robert Gibson, you know, you mentioned is following them on the indie scene. So I'm sure you experienced a ton of their work on the indies and elsewhere. But when did you realize just how massively successful their run was in Jim Crockett Promotions?
You know, I caught on early. You know, I probably really, you know, when I started understanding professional wrestling at the age of 12 and 13, you know, I really started catching on how this business was meant to be and how successful and how detrimental their part was in this, you know, this caliber of professional wrestling, with especially tag team wrestling. You know, my dad and Ricky Morton and tag team partner Robert Gibson paved the way for tag team wrestlers today. And, you know, some do go out of their way to give credit and some don't necessarily take the time, and which, you know, it's a different time, it's a different ball game. But, you know, their legacy speaks for itself. What their lineage and what they've done so far is absolutely just it's something I could never, you know, rethink them, because, you know, it's my father in a way, but it's also, you know, my hero watching Ricky Morton perform. So, you know, it pays its part. And that's something I don't take light off, is I know that, you know, my father made a huge contribution. Am I saying that right? What the hell?
Contribution. We all have those moments.
Yeah, contribution. Excuse me. Contribution. I'm a little jet lag. I apologize. I just got back from Australia, so please forgive me on the air. But contribution. Excuse me. So, you know, he gave a huge contribution to this business, and that's something that it really sticks with me, and that's hopefully one day that I can give a contribution of the caliber that my dad once gave.
And have you gone back and watched a lot of that old footage over the years from the true heyday?
That's all I do, honestly. You know, I eat, sleep, and breathe professional wrestling, especially Jim Crockett days, Mid-South, you know, the Von Erichs, the Texas territorial wrestling, you know, all Japan from the 90s and the 80s. It's all I do, you know, especially in today's age, you want to be a master of the game. So although I keep up with current day stuff, I huge on keeping up with the history and knowing who people are when they come to conversations, you know, especially in the independent scene. A lot of legends approach me, a lot of legends. Almost every show that a legend's on, they approach me and they go out of the way and they talk with me, especially the wrestling legends that wrestle now. They still wrestle in today's time. They go out of their way with me to work with me. They want to have matches with me. They ask promoters to book me just where they can work, because first and foremost, they know that they're safe. I know that I'll take care of them, but they also know that they're going to get their money's worth. The fans are when they watch, you know, an athlete such as myself, Kerry Morton, wrestle these legends. You know, I take care of them. I give people their money's worth, and that's something that's a big part to me in this business. Is if you buy a ticket to watch Kerry Morton on the card, I guarantee you I will give you your money's worth and a little bit more. And I think legends really stick out with that, and they really like that part. So when you ask me if I go back and watch all this territorial wrestling, absolutely. It's a huge part to me. I just did it this morning as I was doing some cardio, and I'll continue to do it. Is know my past for in conversation. I'm not some dumbass, quote unquote, that doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. And, you know, this is going to be a weird question, but I don't get a chance to ask someone this very often, much to my father's chagrin. Ooh. No one will ask me this question. How weird is it looking back on those Crockett days and seeing just how popular they were, especially with the ladies? I mean, they were teen idols.
Listen, they don't make them like that anymore. I'll tell you that much. They do not make them like that anymore. You know, it's awesome. It's so great to see these girls screaming and throwing their bras and throwing their shirts out when Ricky and Robert are entering to the ring. It's incredible. It's kind of like, do you remember when Elvis Presley first came out on the scene and he started doing that little leg shake and all the girls went wild?
Yeah.
And, kind of reminds me of that, but to a different extent. With rock and roll coming out there in bandanas and being the rock stars that they were, and seeing all these ladies scream. I mean, they were truly like the first sensational, you know, good looking rock star boys, young American boys that made it in professional wrestling. Because before that time, before the 84 time period when they really started clicking, there wasn't a lot of small guys in professional wrestling business. You know, they were all giant men, not necessarily the best looking, and you know, that gave these matches that were 20 to 15 minutes long of just brutal beatdowns. But then you get these two good looking American boys come out in the scene and change the perspective of professional wrestling, not only for the boys in the back, not only for the promoters, but for the environmental of wrestling. Watching these, you know, when you attract women, you're going to attract men. And so that's what these houses became to be, is sold out because of the Rock and Roll Express. And that's something that it's so cool to look back and see that.
What's the old saying? Women want you and men want to be you. I mean, that's the key. If you can get both of those down, you're in a good spot.
That's what they say about Carrie Moore. You know, that women want me, but men want to be me.
There you go.
Too bad. They ain't going to do that.
Well, so you said you've gone back and watched a lot of the old stuff, not just with your father, but elsewhere. I grew up on this, and I'm struggling to think, like, maybe the Von Erichs, and I didn't see as much of them in their heyday. I just didn't get a lot of Memphis, but maybe the Fabulous Ones, would they be the only people, maybe I'm forgetting someone, that would really compare to the type of reaction that your dad and Robert would get from these crowds, just in terms of the teen sensation?
That's a great question. You know, I would most definitely relate the Von Erichs and, you know, Steve Kern and the Fabulous Ones. You know, that was something that was relatable to a respective, especially in Texas. You know, no one could compete with the Von Erichs. But, you know, outside of Texas, you know, they would hit Oklahoma and some stations nearby. But I think the rock and roll made that global, you know, that impact across the whole United States. You know, they made that kind of that impact, so to speak. So that, you know, that's something that really sticks out to me is, you know, Steve Kern, the Fabulous Ones and all, and the Von Erichs kind of made a good impact, but rock and roll took it to another level.
I agree. And in fact, I live in Minnesota, which is, you know, AWA country from back in the day. And
oh,
so, well, I was actually going to bring up the Rockers, you know, the Midnight Rockers, because they were just clearly, you know, a knockoff of the Rock and Roll Express. Now, it's before your time, but at the same time, you're aware of it. And I'm curious to know both you and maybe your father's perspective. Was that something, was it imitation is the best form of flattery? Was it something that irritated them? And even you as a viewer, if you had, you know, was it just kind of annoying to see two guys out there basically doing the same gimmick as successful as they were?
You know, that's it's a good point. And, you know, I can't be bittersweet about it because truly I think it was a huge compliment to the Rock and Roll Express. That's why, you know, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels went out of the way to copy the Rock and Roll Express because they knew the success that they were having. And they kind of wanted to peer level. And now in today's time, Shawn Michaels is looked at the one of the greatest of all time. So just to think that, you know, and I had the opportunity to speak to Shawn, and he told me, he's like, man, your father was truly my favorite. You know, he was my hero growing up. And so, you know, what a compliment that is. And especially in the scene where I'm with the National Wrestling Alliance right now, but, you know, Shawn took me away and he was like, hey, I'd be honored to work with you, Kerry. And I was like, wow, Shawn Michaels, you know, is saying this to me. So what a compliment. Truly humbling, to say the least. And, you know, I think my father's perspective, too, is the same way as a compliment. Although, you know, the Midnight Rockers had some success. They took a little from the Midnight Express and the Rock and Roll Express and made this combination. It was like two atoms clashing to you know, make that big explosion. So it was really unique kind of seeing this, and especially going back and watching and seeing the Rock and Roll Express and how successful they were at that time, and then seeing, you know, the climb up the ladders, the Midnight Rockers, and they finally, you know, eventually meet in the Minnesota area, and then kind of teeter off their way to see the careers they had afterwards.
So when did you actually start, like, officially training? I'm sure you had access to a rig at a young age with all the indie shows and everything, but when did you start, and who was all involved in the process?
Yeah, so, you know, when I was like 13 or 14, I was doing professional theater. So I had the opportunity, you know, when I had a few days off, I'd go to my dad's wrestling school and train. And a lot of those, and I really got to give credit to the people that really stuck out to me and helped me. And that being said was, you know, beautiful Bobby Eaton is one that went out of his way to really show me his ways in professional wrestling. And I don't think he's ever done that with anyone else. You know, there's a few I could kind of name off that he's worked with, but Bobby really took his time with me, made me understand professional wrestling for what it was. Another one that plays a huge atmosphere is, you know, my dad, obviously, Ricky Morton, and Robert Gibson. Robert went out of his way to really show me and appreciate tag team wrestling for what it was. Another guy that really sticks out to me is Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom helped me kind of get the leeway of promos and the idea of how to entertain outside of just performing arts of wrestling. You know, Austin Idol is detrimental to my career now. Austin Idol kind of goes out of his way to really put me under his wing and show me ways. And, you know, if you're a wrestling fan and you're not aware of Austin Idol, well, make sure you go out of your way to watch some Austin Idol, because what a trip. You know, New Japan Pro Wrestling star Chase Owens. Also, I got to give credit to Chase Owens for helping me in ring, really kind of shaped me to be the competitor I am today. So, you know, those are the names that really come to mind. You know, I had the chance to work with Jim Cornette on promo skills, and Jim really enjoys my work from the times I talked to him. So I got to give credit to all these guys. You know, there's many names, but that's who formed the NWA World Junior Weight Champion, Kerry Morton.
That's great. And I guess there's so many, I guess a few in that mix are just considered to be amongst the greatest tag team wrestlers in the world. Was that something they focused on at all with you, or was it more just the fundamentals?
No, honestly, you know, I'll get real here. You know, they focused on me as a competitor, a singles competitor, say the least. You know, I'm not speaking on just to humble myself or just to, you know, put myself over necessarily. But, you know, when these legends of professional wrestling go out of their way to come talk to you and say, Kerry, like, you know, I think you're the next thing. I think you're the next this, and you're the next Cody Rhodes. It's going to be WrestleMania. You know, what a compliment, first and foremost, that is.
Yeah.
But with that being said, it's cool to see these, and humbling to have these legends go out of their way when they don't have to. You know, especially at NWA tapings, when these legends are coming across the room and grab me and grab my competitors and saying, hey, listen, this is what I really liked. This is what I didn't like. You know, and especially working with Ric Flair here recently. And Ric Flair, you know, telling me, Kerry Morton, you're one of my number one draft picks in professional wrestling for a young boy in this business. You know, you have it. And it is hard to explain, but you have it. So, you know, that's really just a credit to itself. And now I'm you know, working on myself every day to improve in the ring, outside the ring, physicality, you know, the way I look. And this business, as you know, it's a body business, you know, especially when you see these guys on top. They all have these nice physiques, and it's very overwhelming, so to say, because, you know, especially people on an everyday basis deals with body dysmorphia and all. You have to take this retrospective of what people are and who they're meant to be and kind of bring them together and, you know, showcase yourself in that ability. So it's really confusing to me. I understand it, but it might be confusing how I'm enunciating this necessarily. But to say the least, it's really neat to have these legends and these professional wrestlers saying, hey, man, I believe you're the next thing. Whatever you're doing, keep on doing it.
Now, that's awesome. Have you ever been on the other side of it, though, where it's, I have a grudge with your dad from back in the day, and I'm going to take it out on you?
You know, a few times, but, you know,
really?
I've been taught. Yes, you know, but I've been taught a few, and I'll explain this too. And I'll be real, is, you know, when these young boys on the independent scene and or these independent stars, quote unquote, territorial wrestlers, want to try to play tricks with you in the ring. And, you know, mind you, I did amateur wrestling. I was very successful in amateur wrestling. I took a lot of martial arts classes. So there's some ways where people will go into business for themselves, especially if you give them a little freedom in the wrestling ring and they start beating you up and all, and then they start kind of putting a little freedom on themselves. So you have to know when to stick up for yourself and when to back off. You know, I've had a couple lingering here, so to speak, on the independent scene. But for the most part, everything has been beautiful. You know, a lot of people know how to do business. And that's something that speaks volumes to itself, is these trainers that are training these professional wrestlers today. Kudos to them for showing these guys in the independents and showing these, you know, these wrestlers that, hey, man, this is business. You know, one day you'll get your time, but right now you have to help build this star for this making. But, you know, yeah, you have your fair share. I could go on, and I'm not going to shoot any names out there.
Sure.
I've had a good little time on the independent scene. And you know, listen, I've taken an ass whooping, and I've given ass whoopings out. That's a part of this business. If it's not ballerina, so to say. It's not a ballerina match. It's professional wrestling, and it's aggressive wrestling, so to speak.
Now, when I've seen young baby faces that I think, you know, have a lot of upside potential over the years, I would say, I know I did this with Jungle Boy, and there's so many others over the years, where I've written, you know, this young baby face has potential, and the key for especially like an undersized baby face to me is selling. And I would always, you know, watch Ricky Morton. I would always write something to that effect. How much of an emphasis did your father place on the art of selling when he was training you?
A huge ideal. You know, he said, man, in this business, the way to get over is to sell, especially as a baby face. Now, mind you, It's most definitely a lost art form, and that's something I take a lot of pride in when I get the opportunity to be babyface on the scene, or even a heel in the instance. I take a lot of pride in my selling, especially when you're putting a match together and you tell these guys, get the hell off of me. Allow me to put you over with my work. Allow me to put you over when you give me a big slam, to enunciate that slam and let the people know that, hey, this shit hurts. You know, that's something that really plays a big part. And, you know, as I evolve in my career, you know, I'm not necessarily starting away from babyface or heel. I'm just becoming more of myself, a little bit bigger, a little bit more louder, you know. And that's how I kind of evolve as a wrestler and as myself as Kerry Morton. So, you know, I don't get the opportunity to sell as much as I would like to anymore, just because the way my career is kind of evolving to what I'm doing now.
Sure.
But it plays a huge emphasis, and it's something I try to, you know, if I have a little leeway in the locker room, if I have a little freedom in the locker room, I try to always help with my competitors and, like, telling them, hey, you know, this is a big part of the match, to get some sympathy from the crowd of out saying, come on, or screaming, come on, or making a big roar noise, and for the people to get some cheap pops, like legitimate authenticity and from, you know, from just selling. From just, you know, having those fans behind you, it plays a huge part in my career and many others. And, you know, I'm blessed to learn from the best.
So the theater background, the cheerleading, was it all part of the plan when it came to pro wrestling?
Part of the plan.
Really?
Yes, all part of the plan. I mean, absolutely, especially, you know, going to education and being a successful cheerleader has helped me learn how to base and keep me on a time manageable frame, you know, on top of being a full-time professional wrestler, contracted by the NWA, being on the independents every weekend, owning a social media business, being, you know, a full-time college student, and being an NCAA cheerleader. And to add a little bit more, having a social life, working out, you know, being the man who I want to be, it's a very, 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 you know, time frame management. I live a really tight basis of how much time I have here and how much time I have here. With it being summer now, I have a little bit more freedom during the day, but not too much. So it's really helped me prepare for life on the road.
And what are you going to school for? Like, what is your major?
So I'm business finance, business like financial and social media analytics. So I can help with marketing, you know, wrestling, so to speak, helping independent shows market themselves and helping them get engagement on their social media, whether that be likes or views or just, you know, if they want more views outside of their following basis. I can help a lot with helping SEOs and Google ads, So I really kind of show the atmosphere of analytics and helping, you know, these companies grow. That's something I really take a big passion in, is helping small businesses become successful. You know, if you know me, you know that I'm a, you know, small town boy from USA. So, like, you know, small town USA boy. So I live on the small businesses atmosphere of helping these businesses become successful and helping them have engagement, helping them sell their products or whatever they may be doing. So that's something that plays a part very dear to my heart, and I try to help out as much as I can.
So it sounds like even that had, there was a bit of a pro wrestling angle behind even what you studied in school.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I knew from kind of the first week of school, I was going for dental hygiene, believe it or not. And I was a dental hygiene major, and I did a little understudy apprenticeship at a you know, a local dentistry. And it was lasted about a week and a half, and I realized this isn't for me. I was like, this isn't for me anymore. So marketing was kind of the field that I was guided towards. I felt like it was a good place for me, and I genuinely love what I do.
As a college student, just in that age group, have you noticed an increased interest level in pro wrestling as a whole? Not just so much, you know, people that know you and are curious about what you do when you're not at school, but just in general, is it more of a talking point or not really?
No, it's a big talking point. Especially, you know, I'm gifted to go on the independents and grab all these wrestling shirts from all these shows and wearing wrestling merchandise, and so. Majority of my closet, when I'm saying majority, I'm saying 90-something percent of my closet has to do with some form of wrestling. So, you know, when I'm either out in public or I'm training in the gym or I'm at practice, not wearing, you know, our issued team practice gear, it always is a conversation starter, you know, having wrestling shirts on and people recognizing familiar faces on the shirts. And even now me, you know, I have my own line of merchandise with more than wrestling apparel and all my pro wrestling tees merchandise. You know, I occasionally wear it from time to time. It gives a good starter and a good conversation. So it really, you know, and it's really cool that I go to a smaller university, but a lot of those people on campus know what I do and follow me for that and keep up with my dates and even go out of their way to travel to some local events a couple hours away if possible. So really neat. I have a really good fan base here in Bristol, Tennessee, and hopefully give up on that fan base all over the United States as time comes.
Sounds like some independent promoter needs to run a show at your university's gymnasium.
No, I agree. We run in Bristol kind of we ran in Bristol a few times. I ran back in February where Chase Owens and I went for about 45 minutes for the NWA World Junior Weight Championship. I was successful, thankfully. But we drew 700 people, paid people tickets, $15 a pop. One of the biggest shows that Bristol's hosted in a long time, Bristol, Tennessee. So really, really successful show. Chase and I were the headlines. My father was on the card as well. But really cool to think, you know, these two guys, Chase Owens being from Bristol, Virginia, Terry Morton being from Bristol, Tennessee, two Bristol boys, come back, return home, and sell out a venue, which is quite frankly really heartwarming and truly humbling. You know, people want to go out of their way to come watch us.
Yeah, that is really cool. Tell me about the experience of the World as a Vampire tour.
Oh, my goodness. What is there not to say? I mean, the experience has been absolutely unbelievable. I mean, there's so many things that's happened. Meeting all these cool bands, along with my boss, Billy Corgan, you know, going out of his way to bring wrestling into his world of you know, the musician part and being, you know, Smashing Pumpkins, a punk rock grudge band. You know, there's a different genre of what I could put Smashing Pumpkins into. But rock, I'll live in it as rock. But seeing all these fans come out and watch Smashing Pumpkins and then turn all their attention to professional wrestling and watching us just go out there and put our bodies on the line and then really appreciate it. It's genuinely super cool, especially being, you know, just getting back from Australia. Selling out every night with the Smashing Pumpkins headline and Jane Addiction, but having 20,000 people every night of the tour, you know, that they're performing on. And these people all turn their attention to professional wrestling and putting some more perspective to professional wrestling. During that tour, I gained a ton of followers that had nothing to ever do with wrestling and now follow my career hard. So a really, really neat point, and it really kind of speaks for itself that, you know, music in professional wrestling has a good combination.
Crockett Cup. Are you teaming with your father? You know what you're doing? June 3rd and 4th, Fight TV?
Absolutely, yes. We are coming for the gold. That's right. Ricky Morton and Kerry Morton. The Mortons are coming for the gold. In the recent weeks of NBA television, we've been kind of hinting that we're going to be entering the cup. We are officially announced. So we're coming to win. And, you know, my dad was in the first ever Jim Crockett Promotions Crockett Cup, and now he's in the one in 2023. Who would have thought almost 40 years of a difference, and we're still doing the thing. So really cool, you know, a father and son duo. I don't know if there's any other father son duos entering into the tournament as of now, but we're coming for the gold. I mean, we've been training. We're here at the school of Morton. You know, I had the experience to work with some legends, talk with some legends on the phone, Ric Flair being a notable one, and him giving me some pointers and kind of pointing me to success. So with that being said, we are ready to take on what's in front of us.
Are you at all worried that, you know, Robert Gibson's home, his tag team partner's teaming up with his son? Is he getting bitter and he's going to find a partner and come after you two?
I think Hoot's getting a little bitter, but Hoot understands that, hey, you know, when you have once-in-a-lifetime talent like myself, you got to take advantage of it while you can.
That's
and
right.
So Robert understands that, and he supports us. And, you know, Robert's kind of dealing with a few little injuries here and there. So taking a little time off the road is kind of a good thing. But don't get me wrong. Robert's in full support. And if he were to bring grab a tag team partner of some of his choosing and go against Ricky and myself, then, you know, expect him to lay on the mat for a 1-2-3 count. That's all I can say.
I love it. So the summertime's here. As much as we're talking about the NWA today, you are working elsewhere. Just how much will you get in this summer? And do you have any big events coming up?
Got some huge events coming up, especially hopefully with the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship. You know, whenever you see Kerry Morton on the card, you see representation of the National Wrestling Alliance. I eat, sleep, and breathe professional wrestling, and I adore the NWA. You know, they've been nothing but good to me. Gave me a lot of push and pull here recently. So with that being said, you know, I'm all over the independent circuits. A notable couple of shows coming up is Bret Hart's The Dungeon in Calgary.
Wow.
I'll be going up that way here this summer to hopefully put the belt on the line or do some exhibition of tag team match or whatever. You know, I just got back from Corpus Christi, Texas. I was in Boca Raton, Florida. This weekend, I'm thankful to be fairly close to home in the Carolinas. Monday, I go to New York. Let's see. You know, I am all over. Getting ready for the Crockett Cup. Immediately after that, I head to West Virginia for a few days for a couple wrestling shows. From there, I fly over to South Carolina for a few wrestling shows. Go over to California. The tour this summer for Kerry Morton is pretty stacked. I think I have 1 weekend available in July right now, and that's probably going to be taken up here soon. So it's been a blessing, to say the least. I'm very blessed to be doing what I love, and that is professional wrestling. And, I'm grateful for the position I've been put into, and now I'm going to make the most of it.
And then one more year of school, and then full-time pro wrestling?
Let's see. Possibly full-time pro full-time professional wrestling, I would like to think, but also, you know, that master's degree, having that leverage to my name is pretty neat as well.
So, yeah.
You know, it's a year-and-a-half program at the university I go to, so maybe I graduate that bachelor's, and if I'm feeling a little froggy, then I'll jump into the master's program as well and hopefully re-up my contract with the National Wrestling Alliance and stay home for a little bit more. You know, stay home at the promotion I love, and that's the National Wrestling Alliance, and grow up the brand, and but who knows? Never say never. You know, if tomorrow never comes, as Garth Brooks would say, then today's been a good day. And you know, that's how I look at every day. As you know, I'm taking it one day at a time. I don't want to get too ahead of myself. You know, and the past is bygones. You know, the past is gone. So we have the future to look forward to. So you never say never. That's how kind of I look at life, and that the retrospective of life is. You know, I got to take it one step at a time.
Well, Kerry, it is plug time. You touched on some of the upcoming shows, but anything, social media, merchandise, whatever you want, the floor is yours.
Please find me at social media, at Instagram, at Real Kerry Morton. That's R-E-A-L, Kerry, K-E-R-R-Y, Morton, M-O-R-T-O-N. Same for Twitter, Real Kerry Morton, Facebook, at Kerry Morton. Have a like page. That's where I post a lot of my dates and where I'll be coming in the few next, you know, couple weeks. I'll be at those dates. Merchandise, prowrestlingtees.com/Kerry Morton. Here soon, I'll have some merchandise on the National Wrestling Alliance page as well. On the independents, don't forget to support us independent professional wrestlers on the scene, you know, buying a shirt or some merchandise, or just coming out and saying thanks for coming means the world to us. Not only speaking for myself, but for other independent professional wrestlers. So if you get a chance, please buy a ticket to these local events, support your local talent, and we'll support you back. That's for sure. You know, like I said, find me on Facebook for the upcoming dates. If you're in the nearby area, come see me. You know, I love these fans of professional wrestling, and I would love nothing more to meet new people. So please, by all means, come out and see me.
The NWA Crockett Cup event will be held June 3rd and 4th and is available via Fight TV. Become a .NET member and enjoy a ton of audio content via pwmembership.net. Many thanks to Kerry for joining me, and thank you all for listening. Stop back and we'll do it again right here next week on The Boom.